In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen. Brothers and sisters, we gather here today on what is called Thomas Sunday. It's also called New Sunday, and it's also called Antipascha. First, we'll say the name Antipascha sounds strange to us. We think that it's against Pascha, but it's not against Pascha. The Greek means instead of Pascha, that this Sunday is instead of Pascha. It's the first Sunday after Pascha, and every Sunday afterwards is a little Pascha, a celebration of the Lord's resurrection from the dead, instead of the great celebration that we have annually. It's called New Sunday because everything in the resurrection of Jesus Christ makes the world new. He inaugurates a new creation. He is the first fruits of that new creation, and we enter into that new creation. First with the resurrection of our souls, and then in the age to come with the resurrection of our bodies, and the recreation of the whole world. It all begins with Christ's resurrection from the dead. It's called Thomas Sunday because we hear the accounts of the Apostle Thomas, who was absent from the gathering of the disciples on the day of Pascha, and he wasn't there to see and witness the risen Lord, but he was there on that next Sunday, today, and he was there and he saw the risen Christ, and he heard the words, "Take your finger, put it into my hands. Take your hand, put it into my side. Don't be faithless, but be believing." And Thomas cries out this wonderful confession of faith, "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God. Thomas, this person of great doubt, became a person of great faith. He underwent a transformation. This happened, of course, with all of the disciples. They were cowering in fear behind closed doors. They were scared of the Jews. They thought if they persecuted Christ, what would happen to them? And the Lord appeared to them and everything changed. They saw that life truly does conquer death. Light, darkness, truth, falsehood, love, hatred. That Christ conquers all. And they were confirmed in their faith that he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the one who came to save the world. This transformation of the disciples was truly wonderful. Truly wonderful transformation. They went from cowards to the bravest people on the face of the earth because they were no longer afraid of the one thing that all men feared. They were no longer afraid of death. Think about that. They were no longer afraid of death. And why were they no longer afraid of death? Because Christ had conquered death. Did they think that they were never going to die? No. They knew that they needed to die. That they needed to be like their Savior in everything, following after him. He is the way to the Father. They knew that they needed to pass through their own Golgotha to enter into the resurrection. But they knew that death was no longer a dead end. Death was a passageway. Death was a Passover. Death was a Pascha. What formerly ended in the grave and in Hades now extended through the grave into paradise and the kingdom of heaven. The disciples saw this in their risen Lord. They saw it in his raised and resurrected body. And they knew that if they stayed close to him, that they would pass through all of the sufferings of this age, pass through death, and enter into life. How much did the disciples believe this? A lot, a little bit. Think about it. They were willing to die for Christ. They were willing to pass through death. There was no fear on the part of the disciples once they seen the risen Lord, that he had conquered death. All of the disciples, with the exception of St. John the theologian, were martyred, because they preached the Lord Jesus Christ, him crucified and him raised from the dead. This was the good news that they were willing to die for. They had such certainty of faith. They were so convinced that they were no longer scared of death. They knew it as a passageway, as a Passover, as a Pascha. I want to share with you something of these resurrectional appearances of our Lord. We heard about the appearance to the disciples on the day of Pascha. We heard about the appearance the next Sunday with Thomas now present. The scriptures record some 12 appearances of the Lord during these 40 days. After he rose from the dead on the 40th day, he ascended into heaven to prepare a place for us, so that where he is, we too may be. But for 40 days, that number of fullness, he continually appeared to the disciples, confirming their faith, strengthening them in the knowledge that he had indeed risen from the dead. It wasn't just one appearance. It wasn't just some foggy vision or dream. He appeared to them bodily. He ate with them. He walked with them. He appeared to them in various places, near his tomb, on a well-traveled road, on the seashore, inside a home, in the outdoors, on a mountain, in a city, in Judea and in Galilee. In all of these places, he continually appeared to his disciples, proving to them that he had risen from the dead. The list of the people who had seen the risen Lord include Mary Magdalene, the other myrrh-bearing women, Luke and Cleopas on the road to Emmaus, Peter on a separate visit, the 10 disciples on one visit, another time the 11 with Thomas present, another time to 7 of the disciples, before he ascended to heaven to 11 of them, to St. James, the brother of the Lord, and once to over 500 of the brethren gathered together. 500. We say, well, he only appeared to his friends, to his disciples. Maybe they kind of made it up. Did he appear to any of his enemies? Anyone know the answer to that question? Who was the great persecutor of the church?
Saul.
Saul, that's right. Saul was a persecutor of the church. He certainly didn't believe until he saw the risen Lord and was knocked off his horse, right? Until he became blind by the vision. And then he was baptized into Christ and became part of that new creation. He experienced his own resurrection. And it became part of those who changed the world through the good news. You know, none of the appearances that the Lord had made to his disciples happened at night. All of them were during the day. Many of them on Sunday, because the Lord wanted to solidify the disciples in the experience that he would be with them always, but particularly on Sunday, where they would experience his presence in the breaking of the bread, where he would open their minds to the understanding of the scriptures. You know, in our Orthodox tradition, Sunday is the Lord's day, the day of the resurrection. And we come and assemble for the divine liturgy, and there are two main things in the liturgy that we do. Our minds are open to the understanding of the scriptures, the gospel reading. And we partake of the body and blood of Christ. And he's made known to us in the breaking of the bread. When we think about all of these resurrectional appearances that are recounted in the New Testament, we have to remember that there were more resurrectional appearances than were written in the scriptures. St. John says that these were written, these few were written, so that you might believe, and that in your belief you might have life in his name. That there were more resurrectional appearances that are not even recounted. St. John says that if everything that the Lord did were recorded, not even the world itself could contain the books that would have to be written. Their faith was rock solid. They knew that the Lord had risen from the dead. And they knew so much that they confirmed it not only in their writing of the New Testament, but they confirmed it in their own blood, that they were willing to die, because they knew that through Christ, they would rise. You know, the fathers talk about this wonderful transformation of death, that the Lord performed in his resurrection. They say that as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he conquers not only the earth, But he also conquers the region below the earth, the region of Hades. He conquers these kingdoms. And he does something truly marvelous. You know, an earthly king, when he conquers a land, what does he do? He has a few choices what to do with the people there. He could slaughter them, put them to death. He could tax them. He could make them his slaves, make them his servants. And a wise king will do the first before the second. You can't slaughter everybody and look for taxes. You can't have any servants if they're all dead. But you'll tax them, you'll make them your slaves, and then you'll obliterate them. Well, think about Christ, the King of Kings, the wisest of all. What does he do? He comes and he conquers the kingdom of hell, conquers Hades, and he makes death a servant of the Lord. Well, sounds strange. Why not just obliterate it? Why not just remove death from the face of the earth? What would happen if the Lord set it up so that no one would ever die again on this earth? We would remain here, arguing, bickering, fighting against one another, in a world that's governed by sickness and corruption. Who wants that? Who wants that? Who wants to live forever in this age? Even people, when they become elderly, they're waiting to die. One of my brothers used to classify people in my former church as people who were waiting to die, that they were waiting to go to be with the Lord. There was nothing else on this earth for them. They were sick of good and evil mixed together, life and death, health and sickness. They were sick of it. They wanted only goodness and truth and life and light. They wanted God. What the Lord does is he makes death his servant. He makes death that passageway, that Passover, that Pascha. Death brings us to that kingdom where there is no more sickness or evil or darkness. The kingdom of heaven. Death becomes a servant of God. I want to share with you what St. Basil the Great says about death and the defeat of death. He speaks so beautifully about the Lord's victory. Here's what he says. He says, Christ was born of a woman to regenerate those who were born. He died willingly to raise those who died unwillingly. He was not susceptible to death as God, yet as a man, he accepted to die in order to give life to those who were held under the tyranny of death. Death swallowed Christ unknowingly, but as soon as it did, death knew whom it had swallowed. Death swallowed life and was defeated by life. It swallowed the one after the many, and it lost the many through the one. Death, as a lion, snatched the God-man, and its teeth were smashed. This is why death is ignored by us as something weak. We are no longer afraid of death as a lion. Instead, we walk on death as a skinned hide on the ground. What a transformation. What a change. The one thing that was so feared, death that went around like a lion devouring people, now is slain. Now is lying on the floor. We walk on top of death. Brothers and sisters, the resurrection of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ changes everything. Everything is made new. Everything is reborn. Death is changed. Life eternal is now open to us. The next age is anticipated. Everything has been made ready for us so that we could enter into our own resurrection. As we celebrate these 40 days, let us be confirmed by the witness of the apostles in their writings. Let us be confirmed by the witness of the apostles in their blood. Let us remember the great victory that was foretold by the prophets and fulfilled by Christ. Let us be people who celebrate truly and fully that resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, let us be people who are resurrected in soul and who await through our own death the resurrection of our bodies and that age to come. Christ is risen.
Amen.